It's Tuesday, the 14th of June, and it's time to get your grin on with the Grincast to discuss the world of gaming from the past week. I'm your host Ace, and joining me are Gozogos.
Oh, I'm so sore!
Pej.
Hey, yeah.
Nox.
Hi!
Artura.
Hello, everyone!
And Prince.
Hello!
We've had a bit of a hiatus, but, well, we're going to talk about the main reason for for that, because we're talking about Summer Game Fest, and it's taken a lot of preparation and many days of work. We've covered like 300 games, and go to GameGrin.com to find all of these trailers and some news posts, because the Tribeca Games Fest did not provide trailers. We're going to skip the usual talk about what we've been playing, because, well, I just said 300 games.
Well, we could just go at a really fast pace and we just say what we played. No story.
No. There's no time.
You're just trying to hide what you've been playing, Ace. We all know.
You just want me to talk about Seven Pirate Beach. Which I reviewed for GameGrin.com. Head over there to find out. So we had, what was it, Summer Game Fest, Devolver Digital, IGN Expo, Wholesome Games Direct. Was it Wholesome Direct? I don't know. Xbox Bethesda, PC Gaming.
Guerrilla Collective?
Guerrilla Collective. Yeah, there's just so many. So
can hear his soul leaving every time he starts talking about this.
I just don't want to hear any more. Do 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 do.
Oh, premiere!
Yeah.
Or see another farming simulator.
Oh God, yeah.
So nice.
Hey, now I love farming simulators.
What if we are farming breasts?
Oh, Ace would know a thing or two.
Yes, I have played Seven Pirates H review on GameGrin.com. One of the games that I've seen most talked about, announced during the Devolver Digital, The Plucky Squire, where you play a storybook character who comes to life in and remains storybook-sized in a like normal-sized house. And that's just perfect for me, because I love playing as a little thing in a normal-sized environment.
Do you like those little cartons of milk, like that look like big bottles of milk, but actually like small bottles of milk, and you're like, oh wow, I'm just a giant because I'm holding, yes, a small bottle of milk.
Yes, I do. So, did anyone else have a clear winner of the non-E3?
Oh wait, we have to choose a clear winner?
No. Oh. Just the first game that comes to mind that you thought, ooh, I really fancy that.
Oh my god, the Plucky Square was so good, though.
I can't believe you didn't mention the Moss and the Spirit, though, Rash. It's also tiny people. I mean, sorry.
Bossist.
Bossist.
All you bosses look alike.
At least I didn't call him Dad. Calm down.
Daddy Ace, I think that Agent 64 was really good for me. As a big Nintendo 64 and GoldenEye fan, Agent 64. Looks good.
Yeah, Asians before?
Asians. Agent 64.
I can't understand what you're saying.
I can understand him fine. I don't want to fight with any of you people. And yes, I said you people.
Well, for me, the one that stood out the most was one called Little Gator Game. Because I literally finished a short hike and I fell in love with it, and it looks like Little Gator is something similar. And aside from that, I have like a weird love for gators and alligators. I mean, crocodiles.
Oh, it's so cute.
Girls, what about you?
Like, if I leave all my bias, I would say it's S-C-H-I-M.
Shim.
Sure. Yeah, I thought it was like, I think it's so good, so elegant, so easy to understand. Like, it's a platformer, you can relate to that easily, and yeah, the premise and the visuals are so elegant. Like, you just have a rendering of the real world in monochrome, but that doesn't really matter because the shadows of all those objects are basically what you move on as the frog, right? That's the thing.
Sort of shadow frog.
Yeah, and it just looks really good to me.
Yeah, I agree.
Like it's not. Again, it just feels really good from game design standpoint, and I would play that totally. Like I never heard of it. I saw it and I thought that's brilliant.
I do agree. It looks really good. I'm really excited to give it a shot. The prospect of just like parkouring through the shadows looks really interesting.
The fact that it's a little frog is just adorable.
There was another game that they showed that had a similar sort of shadow mechanic, which was Erebon Shadow Legacy. That looked pretty cool as well.
Yeah, I had that one written down. It's kind of like Aragami 2, where you're some sort of ninja and you have to hide in the shadow and destroy robots, not kill other ninjas in violent, bloody deaths. Prince, what about you?
There was a lot, to be honest. I had a lot of... I always have a list. Oh my gosh. But I also did have a lot of...
We'll get to the list. Just
I know. But my big, like... my favorite indie game. I want to put that out there first because I feel like indie games are a little more important at things like this for me. Was, I believe it's pronounced Toroa. I'm not 100% if I'm like butchering that or not. But it's basically a bird simulator, and I actually love shit like that. Flying is such a really cool thing. Like, I'll sometimes go to like science museums and go in the flight simulators and stuff. So I always love looking at like different things like this, and birds are a thing I feel like you rarely see simulators for. So I'm excited for it. But of course, the big announcement that I was really happy about overall was the announcement of Persona to the Xbox and the PC through the Microsoft Store.
Yeah, I'm interested in playing 3 for the first time. That's not on an emulator. fun fact, the next day, I saw a press release released early because they retracted it shortly after. It's out there now. The embargo is lifted, but it's also coming to PlayStation 5, Persona 3, 4, and 5 Royal.
Yeah.
But that wasn't announced until it wasn't supposed to be announced until earlier today. But I saw it floating around the internet a couple of days ago. I was like, oops.
Yeah, I heard someone let a press release slip through. Like, it was a European press release.
It was. I know exactly which one it was.
Oh my gosh. That's so rough, though. Oh my gosh. I feel like it wouldn't be Atlas, though, if a leak didn't slip through right before the reveal.
Well, before the event, I did see someone tweet, like a Persona fan account or something, tweet a rumor that they were going to talk about Persona 3 at the event, and surprised they did.
See, admittedly, like, I never buy into it because that's what everyone tweets every an event like this. I was actually part of, like, the Persona Twitter fandom for a little while there. It was horrible. But I ran a moderately large account before I just straight up abandoned it because I'm an asshole. But I can't, like, I couldn't keep up with it. There was too much, like, Persona. But every time before an event, everyone's like, oh, they're going to talk about Persona 3. And so, like, no one thinks they're going to talk about Persona 3. I was really shocked. I literally, like, screamed.
Arturo, what about you?
Oh my gosh, it's so difficult to choose between The Last of Us PC and Hollow Knight Silksong. I've been waiting so long for both of these to come out. At one point, like, ever since they started releasing the PlayStation games on PC, I was like, oh, they have to release The Last of Us sometime, right? Like, eventually. And I've been waiting for Hollow Knight Silksong since Hollow Knight came out and I finished it. So I was so ecstatic to see those two.
I'd say you should be more excited for Hollow Knight because, I mean, you've had years to jump on The Last of Us, PlayStation 3, PlayStation 4. It's coming to PlayStation 5 because it's another remaster.
We like to call it Skyrim 2.0.
It's GTA 5 2.0.
But yeah, I'm really excited for both of those. I did play The Last of Us on PC. I mean, on PlayStation a couple of years back, but I am so bad at shooting on controls that I was hopeless. I still did eventually pass it, but oh my gosh. So now I'm excited to actually, you know, have a fighting chance.
Okay, I'm going to open the floor to what else do you want to talk about? Do you want to talk about Flintlock or Forza Horizon 5 Hot Wheels expansion? Little Bear Chef?
Oh, yeah.
Excuse me, are you just going on your list?
I mean, like, they did the Hot Wheels expansion for Forza Horizon 3, which was really good. Like, it was, like, it took the fun of Horizon and just made it absolutely ridiculous, which was awesome. So I'm really excited to get back into that Hot Wheels kind of nonsense. I'm not huge into racing games, but Forza Horizon has always been quite accessible and very focused on fun, and yeah, Hot Wheels is going to be a lot of fun.
As I've mentioned on this very podcast, I've recently played through all of the Forza Horizon games. Yes, they are very fun. Didn't get the Forza Horizon 3 Hot Wheels DLC because you can't buy it anymore, so I'm actually excited for the Hot Wheels DLC for Forza Horizon 5.
One thing I did want to ask you guys was, how did you feel about the Starfield reveal? Because a lot of people have been like looking forward to it, and we know there's a lot of hype behind the game. So I wanted to know how you guys felt about it, what you perceived and all that.
I'm cautiously optimistic.
Yeah, that I honestly, it kind of killed my hype personally, because it feels like Starfield had no personality on the gameplay, to be honest. Like, there's a lot of elements of No Man's Sky, and there's a lot of elements of, like, the Outer Worlds that just felt off and not very unique. So I wanted to know if I was standing that on my own, or if you guys also saw that, or how you guys felt about it.
Yeah, I didn't really care about Starfield at all before, and now I don't know. Is it supposed to be a space sim like Elite Dangerous, or is it supposed to be like Skyrim in space? Because if it's supposed to be like Skyrim in space, like, I don't see that being very fun for the Skyrim audience.
I think it's supposed to be more like Fallout in space.
Yeah,
I mean, I like, that's the same thing to me. It's just that Fallout is so, like, it has that quirkiness and that dark humor in it, and if you take that into like that sci-fi that's more realistic, more scientific, then I don't see that being very fun.
I think they're going to try and tell a bit more of a serious story as opposed to the kind of more satirical nature of Fallout. I'm looking forward to it because I've been a fan of Bethesda's like open world RPGs, and I think it looks like a really cool step with the technology that they have and the scope of it. Like, I mean, I know we're prone to hearing a lot of lies from Todd Howard every year, and everything he claims is always you got to take it with a pinch of salt, but he straight up said that you can land and explore the 1,000 planets in the galaxy that they have, which sounds ridiculous and it sounds like way too much. But I'm excited to see how much of that is real and how much of it is not. I'm fully ready to be hurt again. Yes.
Wait, but I thought No Man's Sky promised even more than
I was going to say. It sounded like No Man's Sky when you said that. I was like, oh no, the war flashbacks have started.
Yeah, that is a thing. They're definitely going to start competing because they're very similar games from what I saw in the trailer.
I think the difference is that No Man's Sky is focused on procedural generation, and the I don't think it actually has a limit of planets. If it does, I think it's something like 1.3 trillion or something like that. Whereas, from what I understand, Starfield might be more handcrafted. Maybe it will use procedural generation for some aspects of it, but it's got a bit more of a sensible scope compared to No Man's Sky.
Yeah, I think No Man's Sky is more about like the emergent storytelling, and Starfield's, yeah.
See, that's exactly the problem. Starfield is dot, dot, dot. There's not really like a lot of shape to it. It seems like it's, I don't know. I thought it was a little underwhelming, unfortunately, and I was pretty excited for it. And that's actually something my wife and I have been discussing, is that we think that the biggest problem is how quiet they were about the game, so that, you know, people have these expectations. And not so much like I had high expectations of you know, unreachable, but rather I had this image of what it was going to be, and it ended up being kind of like a little more bland in comparison, personality-less, like she said.
I don't think they're gonna, like, I think almost definitely they're not gonna go the emergent storytelling route, because that, like, it's not attractive to, like, mainstream audience. So I think they're gonna try to have, like, a set narrative, like, scripted events and whatnot. That's all I can guess.
Yeah, I think it will absolutely be like that. I mean, I think they've intentionally kept it quite vague because I guess the mystery kind of adds to the hype of it, and we still don't know anything about the story apart from the fact that you're a space person in space doing space things. And, yeah, I mean, I guess end of the day, even if it sucks as a game, the mods for it will be really cool.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, for sure. It's just that I feel really bad because when people keep games like that and they don't give a lot of information and stuff, it ends up being hated on people that don't really know how to control their hype or control their expectation. I mean, the same thing happened to Nintendo, funnily enough, not long ago with an Animal Crossing mobile update. It had been hyped up by Nintendo for months, and everyone expected something insane. And then when it was kind of like just mid, like Nintendo is, everyone just kind of like threw a fit for a few days and was really angry. And it's like, okay, but it's kind of your fault for not giving people any sort of news about what you were going to do. So people are like, oh my God, it's going to bring like this and that and that and that. It was just, you know, I just wish developers would talk a little more so that that would stop happening to them.
It's definitely a problem. Like, you definitely need to set people's expectations before they make up their own, basically.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, it's really important that we set up developers should try to focus a little more on showing what the product is going to be before, you know, our minds wander and we start getting really excited to see things that might not be actually within the realism scope. But since we're not game developers, we don't actually know what is realistic.
Or even what their vision is. Because even in something that is kind of, sounds kind of boring, like space, there's a lot of possibilities in space, because you can either have something like No Man's Sky that's more, you know, kind of more realistic, or like Starfield's even more realistic, or like that game, what's the one that we're playing?
Outer Worlds?
Outer Worlds is more colorful. Or heck, even the cartoony ones that have like really weird alien stuff. Like there's so many different visions on a singular thing. I just think it would be beneficial to be more clear.
I think there's definitely a problem of like having the budget to promote the game properly. But in case of Microsoft, I would imagine that they have enough to do that.
You'd think.
I think what they're doing is very calculated right now. I think we'll get a lot more information about what it is coming closer to launch. But I mean, it's just a standard kind of Bethesda thing. They kind of like, they're like, this is the game that's coming out, get hype for it. And they don't try and control the hype whatsoever. I mean, it always bites them in the ass, but they're big enough and they're popular enough and the games are ultimately good enough that people would just be like, oh, maybe it's not exactly what I expected, but it's still really good. Unlike stuff like Cyberpunk, where the hype got completely out of hand, and it completely under-delivered on a lot of what people expected.
Well, in that case, I would say that was their fault.
I mean, okay, yeah, they actually...
That's long enough on Starfield, I think.
Okay.
No, go on. I was just going to ask a question to prompt people to talk.
Okay, let's talk about the Fallout 76 expansion, The Pit.
Wasn't shown, was it?
Yeah. It was!
And it looked like a trailer that someone made using NVIDIA GeForce screen recording.
I know I complained about farming sims, but Lightyear Frontier was shown, and that's a farming simulator, but you're in a mech suit, so that changes everything.
Oh.
That did look cool, actually, yeah.
Is that a space game, too? Because Lightyear? Is that a spin-off to Toy Story?
Oh, that actually looks really cute.
Like a Rift Breaker, but first person. If anyone played Rift Breaker.
Do you have to build a farm in Rift Breaker?
No, you build more like, it's more like factories and stuff like that, yeah.
My question for you guys is, what was the game you were not, like, what was the biggest surprise? I'm sorry.
The question was,
what was the game that caught you guys most by surprise on the event?
They announced Flashback 2, a sequel to an Amiga game.
Oh, yeah. I feel like everyone was like, what the hell is that?
Yeah, they were like the iconic, and I'm like, the what?
The loved.
I mean, if you had an Amiga, you played Flashback, but if you didn't have an Amiga, then you don't care what Flashback was. I think it released on the Mega Drive and maybe the SNES.
Did you see the announcement of Flashback 2 and you had a flashback to playing it on the Amiga?
Like 100 million years ago.
Ooh. Ace is not that old.
I was pleasantly surprised with Chicken Journey. That is so cute. I love platformers, and unfortunately, you know, I think good platformers are far and few in between, but Chicken Journey was just wonderful. I cannot wait to give it a shot.
Especially because we like love chickens. I don't know if it's a Colombian thing.
I love
thing.
Chickens, oh my god.
But we love them.
I think the game that surprised me, I don't know, surprised me the most, but High on Life, the Justin Roiland new game, that was... I didn't see that coming, and also it seems to be a spiritual successor to one of my favorite games, Stranger's Wrath. In Stranger's Wrath, you're a bounty hunter in like an old west kind of world, and you use
the odd world game.
Yeah, you pick up critters off the ground and use them as your ammo. So you pick up little skunks and you shoot them, and they are basically your gas grenades.
Oh my god, that sounds hilarious!
And when you're in first person, you see your crossbow and you have your little squirrel or your little skunk on there, loaded, and it just looks at you and makes noises and stuff.
Oh no, I could not play that game.
Struggled cries.
High on Life did look fun. The guns talk to you, and one of the guns was a knife.
Oh yeah, it's a gun.
One of the weapons is just a knife with a face.
I'm gonna shoot you with my knife.
And fun fact, apparently when you look down, do the iron sight in that game, you just look at your alien gun into its eyes, like you have a little one-on-one when you're aiming.
Well, on the subject of using sentient beings as ammunition, Palworld.
Yeah,
is
that the weird Pokemon thing?
Yeah,
I was shocked by that. To be honest, I'm shocked that game can be made, to be honest. I feel like there's some sort of legal trouble in there somewhere.
Someone gave Blastoise a light machine gun.
Oh my god, what? I'm just looking at this now. How is this allowed?
I mean, Temtem's been made.
I kind of want to check it out, though, admittedly. I can't lie.
Oh, yeah. it looks mad.
What the hell? They're getting literally shoveled. Ah. Sorry, Gorse. It's just that I hadn't seen this.
I was just looking at a screenshot of your character, I guess, holding a rocket launcher and a little cartoon chicken is loaded into it.
Asking the proverbial question of what would happen if you gave Pikachu a Glock. And, I can't tell what's actually... Like, I can't tell if they're actually Pokemon or not. I'm so out of touch with the Pokemon generations. They look like they're Pokemon.
No, it's so interesting, because they look a lot like Pokemon in shape, and then it'll be, like, color differences. And I'm like, Jesus, like, are they really getting away with this?
Original character, it has a gun, don't steal.
I mean, the art style is definitely look... like very much like Pokemon, but those creatures are original, I guess.
I feel like the Pikachu name is really misleading.
I'm gonna be honest with you. I want to try this. Like, if it's not super expensive, I'm totally giving it a shot because this just looks like a nightmare.
No, it's not gory or anything. It's kind of, I think it's more funny. Like, I don't actually think it's meant to be, you know, aggressive. Like, you're shooting them, but there's no blood or anything.
Like, that's true.
Yeah, and when they get hit, they get, like, little stars above their head, like, if they got, like, stunned. It's kind of cutesy, actually.
Yeah. Trying to play that.
Okay, never mind. I take it back completely.
We've reached the experimentation.
That's gonna be the game of the year.
One of the other games that stuck out to me in the Wholesome Direct was Doki Toki Time Slows Down When You're in Love. It's basically
Portal,
but instead of using portals, you freeze time to solve puzzles.
That game was really weird looking. The
FAQ on the website assures that there's no dark twist. That's why it's in the Wholesome Direct.
Oh my god, that's hilarious!
Doki Doki.
People have like PTSD though.
No dark twist.
That sounds suspicious.
So I know, right?
Don't protest too much, I think.
It looks like the classic age of 3D crazy Japanese games. And
it even sounds like it, honestly. Like, even the little animations of her looking for the boyfriend and stuff were really cute. So one game that stood out to me was Venba. I think that's such a cute game. Like, the premise of the fact that it's like a family thing, and it's a family that's, you know, a foreign family, and they have this cookbook. That cookbook thing, just, I thought it was so cute. And the effort they put into it by making, by filming themselves making noise, like, not noises in the kitchen, but, like, you know.
What kind of noises are we talking? Grunting?
I thought it was so cute.
I thought so too, though, actually. I feel like my family does a lot through cooking. We're Irish American, so, like, it's important to us in our culture. And sharing recipes like that is honestly, like, so important and pretty, and I thought the premise was very beautiful.
I thought so too, and it touches on something very real, that is, like, if you take your kids to another country to try to give them a better life and stuff, you will start seeing differences in culture. It happens, unfortunately, in my family, because we're split between America and Colombia, and although the cultural differences aren't that shocking, there's still some things I feel like, you know, the family doesn't really understand, because you're more into one culture than another.
Yeah.
It's a really weird balance with second generation kids when you grow up in a new environment, completely different culture from what your family is bringing in, like, used to and trying to bring you up in.
Yeah, and it feels like they're trying to, like, shove it down your throat sometimes. It's a very real, you know, not issue per se, but it is a struggle, kind of.
Yeah.
The Diaspora.
One of the other games, Thirsty Suitors, had kind of those elements. But
yeah.
Also, you fight your exes.
To de-seduce them or something, I don't know.
What the hell?
Okay, but jokes aside, when I did check out, I did know about Thirsty Suitors before the events took place, and I am quite interested in seeing it because the main character feels almost oppressed by her mother, and it's just a story of how she's trying to get her own voice and escaping the ideas that they had for her.
Yeah, I really like the fact that they keep bringing in different cultures and the struggles that those cultures have when they meet the Western cultures and stuff.
Okay, how about we go by list to see who liked what and where? So, Ace and my wife have already spoken. Jesus, you guys talk a lot. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, yeah, I was about to go for three other more that stood out. I don't know.
How about you, Gors? Which one of your list do you want to talk about?
Oh, the lumberjack.
Oh my god, yeah. That's so adorable. I love the bears for becoming a thing.
Yeah. I thought that's next to Shem. Is that?
Yeah, Shem. I think it's how it's pronounced.
Yeah, that's another game that I thought was just looked and seems to work real well. Just the bear going to solve the environmental problems and shit. He's doing all of it by smacking everything and smacking people and turning them into good people. But and there's nothing wrong with that because he's a bear. He doesn't know any better.
I was actually a fan of the bit in the trailer. He goes over and smacks a machine, and it's the machine's been acting as a dam, and the water just goes flooding in.
Yeah, it's really cute. I love that one too. It stood out to me as well. Yeah. I'm excited for Bear and Breakfast as well.
Environmental games are starting to become far more common, which is kind of sad and speaks a lot about how our world is faring with these things. But
yep.
A similar title to that one, it's not on my list, I just wanted to bring attention to it, was the Endling, Extinction is Forever. It's really horrible to see how many of these things are starting to become kind of common in our culture nowadays. And
even No Place Like Home, the farming sim that I played recently, also has things of everyone left the planet because they're no, it's too broken, and they left all the trash behind. We're all pretty shocked by that. It's really good though. I think it brings a lot of attention and might actually get people to stop being so stupid,
environmentally unfriendly.
Yeah,
you'd hope.
Okay, Pej, what about you? I'll tell you what,
I'm really excited about the new season, Sea of Thieves season. I've not been playing it religiously, but I've been playing it on and off every time that there's a content update. And the whole new ability to customize your ships completely, and more than just changing colors here and there, is really cool. Being able to name your ship, being able to kind of have it as a consistent thing is great.
I didn't realize you couldn't, honestly.
Yeah, no, basically you had the previous customization was you could customize the general color of the ship, the sails and the cannons and a few things here or there, the wheel and everything, but now they've added a bunch of proper customizations for the captain's quarters, so you can get little trinkets and stuff like that to put up there. You can name your ship so it has a permanent name as well, and it's just, I guess they're trying to bring more consistency to having a permanent crew as opposed to just hopping on and having a crew that lasts for one game session and then having to reestablish yourself as a crew again the next time you play, which is really cool.
I really like that, and I never knew that it worked like that in that game.
Yeah, it's really fun. It's definitely one of those kind of make your own fun games. I mean, they've added a lot of content to it now, but It's just great. If you play with a group of people, you all get really into it. You can have hours and fun on that game. It's fantastic.
My wife and I did try the game when it released on
the Xbox Game Pass.
On the game, yeah, it was pretty fun. But people are so treacherous, fucking. Oh, I'm sorry. freaking killing us and stealing our loot constantly and just betraying us and being oh my god, no. I did not like that. I started to become distrusting of everyone.
It's good when you've got a full crew of, like, you and three other people, because, like, when you come across another crew, you actually have, like, a fair chance to fight against them, usually. But yeah, strangers can be, it's kind of chilled out a little bit now. Like, you can definitely come across a lot of really friendly players and people who are just down to, like, you know, do quests together. They added a Pirates of the Caribbean content with the last update, and you could do that as a group with rando, so you didn't have to just do it with your own crew. If another crew showed up at the same spot at the same time as you, you could all do the content together, and it became like a little PvE experience that multiple crews could experience at the same time, which is really cool.
Oh, that's really nice. So they've tried to like make it less aggro.
Yeah.
And actually, that's a good thing they post. Probably we just came in on a bad time, huh? Because like it was pretty new, and everyone was kind of like, you know, in the middle of being treacherous pirates. Probably the community is better, like you said.
Yeah, like the people that are still playing it quite religiously now are quite diehard into it, and they kind of take it a bit more like a role-playing kind of experience as opposed to just go in and just kill everyone. So it's definitely a good time to hop back into it.
Well, thank you for telling me that. Honestly, I had been wanting to go back, but it was becoming kind of boring because everyone we teamed up with betrayed us. So I was like, okay, this is kind of like one of those shows that every single season is the same thing.
Yeah. It's if you're actually joining into a crew of people, it's much more in their interest to work together to secure it, because all of the gold now splits evenly as well, so it's not like someone gets more than anyone else either.
It's good to know that they've added these little things to have made it less less enticing to betray everyone. I appreciate that. I feel like they're actually trying to. It feels like No Man's Sky. Sea of Thieves is
No Man's Sea.
Starfield, yeah, Starfield, right?
It feels like they're really trying to make the game fun.
Prince, is there anything else on your list?
There's a few things on my list. There always is. But one of the main ones was actually my lovely wife, which at first I wasn't about, but the more I learned more about it, the more I was like, that's kind of interesting. It's basically about a guy trying to bring his wife back from the dead, and I'm a sucker for that specific, like, little, what's the word, cliche there. So of course I'm interested in it. Among other things, I'm excited for, of course, One Piece Odyssey, because why wouldn't I be? It actually looks really good, and I'm excited that it's a turn-based RPG, because that's cool as fuck. I love turn-based RPGs. Oh my god. And then I'm actually excited for the new Forza Motorsport. I believe it's a remake. I'm not even 100 on that, to be honest. But I like car racing games. I always have. I think it looks neat.
I think they just, rather than call it Forza Motorsport 8, they're just, okay, well, we haven't sold the original Forza Motorsport for years now, so let's just reuse the name.
See, that makes sense too, but I wasn't sure because I saw some people online actually talking about it, you know, and I believe that one of the tracks they did show so far has been from the original Forza Motorsport. I don't know. Like, I don't know.
Don't they just reuse them every year, every edition for Forza Motorsport? Yeah,
I figured that was the case.
Yeah, I think they base a lot of their tracks off of real life tracks. Like I remember playing the original Forza Motorsport and the original Xbox, and I think pretty much most of the tracks were real life tracks that they just put into the game. I might be wrong. It was a long time ago.
And then I forgot. I'm excited kind of for Rose and Locket. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. My mom was actually really excited about it. It's Metroidvania. But it just looks very interesting and people should check it out.
What's your mom's name?
A gamer? Rose and Locket. Yeah, my mom's a gamer, kinda. She's She used to be a lot more of one, especially before I was born and stuff. Like, she used to go to the arcades and stuff. I think that's the reason she said she liked Rose and Locket, actually, is it reminded her a lot of the old arcade-style games she used to play, like, that she preferred. But with her, she's kind of getting up there in age. She's almost 60, and her thumbs just don't work as well as they used to anymore, so she doesn't game as much nowadays.
The same thing is happening to my mom, unfortunately. She also is a pretty big, was a pretty big fan of gaming, you know, Zelda and Mario. And lately, she doesn't want to play anything either because of that same issue. It's kind of sad, actually, and anxiety-inducing, and I hate it.
I know. Honestly, it's such a, it's a bummer. It's really, like, I can't even imagine it. And to be honest, it's kind of scary, too, though, because I'm like, a lot of that stuff ends up being genetic. So part of me is like, oh, God, this is my future, too.
I think even if it wasn't genetic, like, even if it's not a thing, I think every person ends up not being able to play, and it's super scary, and I hate it.
Yeah.
Hopefully by the time we reach that age, they'll have handless controllers, and everything will be VR. Plug it straight into our brainstem.
See, I've always
do it at that point, just frick it.
VR is one of those like things where you could just literally put on a headset and be anywhere around public. Like, I'm a .hack fan, so that was always the premise. But I've always like just seen it someday just literally being in like glasses and you could just walk around in real life while being in VR.
Yeah. Like Google Glass. Remember Google Glass? That was a thing.
Okay.
Nobody remembers that.
Nobody wants to remember.
Google made glass?
Oh, didn't I?
There's a game that I was shocked. It appeared only at the quick montage at the end of the Wholesome Direct, but it's Paperclay. I saw a teaser of it on my Twitter a while back, and oh my gosh, I fell in love with it. And yes, you play as a chicken again, and yes, it's a platformer, but it was so pretty. Yeah, I love chickens.
We have a little park here where there's chickens, and you can just go there and check them out. And ducks and stuff.
Check them out.
Check it. Oh, God.
Wow, Columbia sounds awesome.
Wait, thank you. You're welcome to come.
No. Yeah. I'm kidding. Yeah, sure, one day, maybe. Hopefully.
Right, is there any others that people want to bring up before we end the podcast?
Well, I really like Luto. Like, honestly, like, I'm never going to stop. I have, like, a million things written down.
Yeah, like, we have a lot. Like, if you don't stop us, we will continue going.
And I have a lot to say.
Like, did you guys get to check out Wholesome Out and About? It was so cute. So freaking cute. That looks so great. I can't wait to play that one.
Or freaking Ooblets. It didn't look that great at first, but now I'm obsessed.
I was surprised with Minecraft Legends, but, like, that's kind of, you know, I didn't expect a Minecraft announcement.
No, and it was really exciting as well. And I'm very excited for the Little Bear Chef.
Sorry, going back to the Minecraft Legends, when I wrote Minecraft on the document, I wrote, like, Minecraft something. And people
something or other.
Having a go at me, like, they just said it's a Minecraft game.
Sorry, Ace, do you want to have, like... Let's be real. I started having a go at you.
Yeah, she's a little obsessive on my Minecraft. I'm sorry.
Like saying, oh, everything's a Minecraft. No, it's literally Minecraft.
Jokes aside, though, I was really shocked. So you play as, like, and you're trying to, like, unite the overworld and you're on horseback. It looks weird.
I haven't seen it,
but it's very interesting that you're going to lead an army. Like, I don't know.
Minecraft's getting going weird places.
Yeah,
now.
Minecraft is like growing, and it's weird to see it become like its own little. Like, we have
universe.
The Diablo RPG, we have the Telltale games, now we have war leading Minecraft. Like, what?
It's becoming Marvel of gaming.
Can't wait for the Minecraft Dating Simulator.
Oh no!
Oh yeah, baby.
Don't ask what happens at the end of the creeper storyline.
There is a Dead by Daylight dating simulator coming out, so...
Yeah.
Oh, that's really interesting. What the hell?
It's called Hooked on You.
Oh my god, I love that.
I was also really happy to see Tinykin. Oh my god. Honestly, as soon as I saw it, I kind of tried to avoid it because I'm already sold on it. I'm already going to play it. I don't want any more spoilers.
Yeah, no, it was a really good game when we previewed it.
At GameGrind.com.
Oh my god, check out the review. Another game that stood out to me was The Cub. I thought it was really weird, especially the way they kind of like portrayed it with the whole Jungle Book. They're like, oh, it's a Jungle Book, but like about some weirdo kid that got left behind when the world ended. Like, wow, you did, wow.
Yeah, it's their follow-up to a golf game where you head back to Earth, which is a wasteland. It's like Golf Wasteland or something. And you play golf, and it's like, well, this is a very different game because now you're a platformer.
Wow, I didn't even realize that.
It's a follow-up? That's super interesting.
I wish they had said that.
They did. It's not a follow-up. They said it's a prequel.
Oh, wow. I really like that, actually.
Didn't they say it's a prequel and a sequel?
Maybe.
Oh, my gosh, I do believe that.
Okay, we have time for two more games. Go.
Okay, are we going to just, like, duel it out? Rock, paper, scissors?
No, I really want to ask this one really importantly, like, quickly to Ace. How are you not excited for Grounded?
Because spiders.
Oh, you're an arachnophobe? You're scared of spiders?
They don't really affect me as much as my wife and the Xbox, which I'd be playing on, would be while the wife is watching me play on the Xbox. So.
Oh, I see. That's very unfortunate. I'm so sorry.
Prince, have you got one?
I was almost gonna say if it's the last one, can I ask a question also? Since there was a question, I was gonna say immortality, but actually, I want to ask a question instead. Sorry. What did y'all think about Resident Evil 4 Remake?
I was expecting you to mention something about it.
Me too, yeah. Honestly, I was like, okay, it's either the DLC or the remake.
Well, the DLC, I'm actually, dude, I'm a little mad at the direction Resident Evil is going in right now because it's almost a little too supernatural for my taste because everything should be rooted in science. But I would like to hear what y'all think on the Resident Evil remake.
I love that.
I fully agree, and I'm not even a fan of the franchise.
Thank you. I'm glad that's opinion people agree on, because all I ever see is people hyped about all the stupid supernatural shit these days.
I get it, because like I do see Resident Evil was as a virus that humans made, right?
Yeah.
I can totally see how you're upset about that.
I was just going to say, I'm sorry, but I really do like the supernatural aspect. Same. For me, the more supernatural things there are in games, the better. If I get to cast magic, I'm happy. If I get to see elves, I'm happy.
It just hurts because I feel like it's always been a series rooted in specifically science. Like, it's always been science. And, like, every once in a while, there's a little bit of a give. And usually they have a scientific explanation for that. And they kind of do that throughout A. Like, most things do have explanations. But the deeper they're going into, like, all of this, especially with the new, is it Secrets of Rose? What's it called? Is that right?
I just remember something about Blackwood, but I might be wrong.
But either way, with the new DLC, it's just a little too supernatural for me. I'm, like, ready to drop out over it. I do appreciate they are adding a third person mode though to 8 so much. That's what we want. Yes. But I asked y'all a question. Wait.
Well, I'm a bit upset about just Resident Evil taking itself too seriously, and that includes what they are doing with 4. Because to me, it's always been schlock horror. Like, it wasn't that scary. It was the general themes were horror, but it wasn't exactly.
It's always
that
been camp.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
No, go on.
No, like, I agree with you completely. Like, I've never been a Resident Evil fan, but I've been a Resident Evil 4 fan. I thought Resident Evil 4 was like a really cool kind of like action horror game. Like, it didn't lean too heavy into the horror, because I really can't do horror games. and I really enjoyed the level of horror that it did dip into. But the campness and the kind of cheesiness of it was really great. But the new remake looks like they're kind of going all into, let's make it dark and gritty and make it super scary. And I'm too much of a coward for that. I can't do it.
I feel that, to be honest. It's probably why I like the old Resident Evils more than the new ones, for sure. Is they're a lot less scary, and they're kind of trying, like, they're not trying to be this, they're not trying to fuck with you as much. Like, they are in little small ways, but they're trying to tell a story overall instead of scaring you.
Yeah.
That goes kind of with how, I mean, originally with games, we didn't have a horror genre. We had a survival horror, which is you survive in a horror-like situation. And now we have a horror games, which are games that are trying to scare you.
Yeah.
And they don't necessarily, they aren't necessarily good games. They are, like, more experiential. Jump scares.
Yeah.
Okay, that's about all we have time for. Thanks for joining me, guys. It's been fun to reminisce about the horror of the last few days.
Thank you so much. Yeah. This is just gonna, you know, further ingrain the trauma.
I think they're cool games out of it.
I already forgot everything that happened over the last few days.
I had fun.
I did have to go look through some of these to remember. Oh yeah, that's what Lightyear Frontier was. Oh yeah,
Doki oh my god,
one I was interested in when it popped up 4 days ago.
Yeah, it just all melds together, and you're like, I don't know which one's the one with the bear. Like, there's so many bears.
Literally, oh my god. I only remembered that one because I wrote that one. But like half the games, I literally was like, I don't even remember this anymore.
But anyway, thank you for joining me, everyone, and thank you for listening to the Greencast. And better yet, thank you for subscribing wherever you found this episode. You can find more from us on GameGrim.com, find us on social media, and listening to the Pals Anime Lounge podcast. And until next time, game on.